Thank you that we can come together this morning. We call upon your Holy Spirit to minister to us as we go to the Word. Open our minds. Help us, Lord, to receive it. Help us to appropriate it, Lord. We just give you all the honor and the glory to you, Lord. For we know, Lord, that you are the Lord who ministers to us, who heals us, who sets us free, who give us a transformation to change us the way from what we are to what we want us to be. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Second message of the series, Appropriating Your Identity in Christ. And last week, we start seeing God's plan for us. His plan that is implementing in our lives is to change us, to transform us, to create in us the people that you want. We saw some scriptures about that. Only when we realize and receive in our heart and understand what is like to have Christ in us, the hope of glory. Only when we come to grasp fully that truth and allow that truth to start to operate in our minds and in our hearts, that we become the channel for Him to make the changes in us that He is going to do that we cannot do ourselves. It's His work. It's His plan. This is a good plan. It's the best plan that we can have. The thing is that, first of all, the world, the people in the world, the people who are not born again, cannot even understand that. But even lots of people that are born again cannot really fully appreciate that because they are being immersed in religious ideas that have been for centuries going on and that do not understand what actually Jesus achieved through his work on the cross. And they think that there is something that still needs to be done for us to become free when instead we are free already. He said it is finished and it's for us now to really appropriate what he has done, what he has achieved, what he has accomplished. And what he has done is finished, and what we had to do has started. There is a part we play that need to be done. And the problem is that generally what most believers think is that he has to do something for us. And they go to him in prayer asking him to do the things that he already finished. So really, they're wasting their time instead of doing what they should be doing. If there is anything that they should ask God, is to ask them what they should be doing and get the direction that they need in their life to know the next step in their change. The thing is, most people don't like change. And there are a number of reasons why they don't like change. Okay, the point is, they don't like change because, first of all, they're comfortable. They're in their comfort zone, and they just, you know, why would we have to change anything? Or maybe they're afraid of what happened next. Or they don't understand God, and they think that God is going to take away fun from their life. And really, that's a mentality that they got from the world. It certainly is not what the Holy Spirit is telling them, and what they should understand as believers. The opening up of our heart to the truth of what Jesus has done makes all the difference. And that opening up is a decision we make, and it's a step of faith. See, you cannot do that in your mind, in your logic. You had to do that with your heart, with your spirit. This is what God expect from us and what makes all the difference for us. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, is a scripture I read last week, but I want to repeat. It says, then God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of the this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You see, it's Christ in us that is something that we logically cannot really understand with our mind, with our logic. But it's something that the Word revealed to us. It's something that is the starting point, is what makes the difference in our walk, is what makes the difference in our ability to receive from God what He has done for us. See, this is the starting point that happens after we are born again. When we are born again, something happens that changes everything about us. We become new creatures, new type of being that are not in this world unless they go through that process. So we are a new species. We are children of God. And the word when it says children of God actually is technon, which means descendants or, sons, offsprings. That's the word I was looking for. So really, we are not anymore from this world, but they are from God. And so everything is changed. And this is the first things we had to come to realize when we are born again. And often that's not the message we get. You know, we just got, you got forgiven and now, God accepts you, but you're still a sinner and saved by grace. Well, we actually are much more than the sinners saved by grace. We were sinners that have been saved by grace. But because we have been saved by grace, we are not anymore sinners, we are sons of God. So the first things that we had to accept is the fact that we are sons of God. We had to start seeing ourselves as sons of God. We had to start confessing the fact that we are sons of God. We had to start saying normally, I am a son of God. I'm a son of God. I'm not just me. You are too. If you are born again, you are a son of God. And so we have to start agreeing with God about the things that He has done. Because this is our part. You see, our part is not to make us that way. It's to accept that He has made us that way. Because we cannot make ourselves that way. We cannot make ourselves righteous. But because of what He has done, we can say, I'm righteous. Amen? Amen. We can say, I am righteous. You can say, I am righteous, even this morning. You don't have to go around feeling that you are not righteous. It is not your righteousness. It's His righteousness, so it's more than what you can ever be thinking about. Do you even know what that righteousness is? Because your mind cannot grasp the truth of His righteousness. He was without sin, He never sinned, and He never will sin. But He took our sins on Himself so that we can become His righteousness. And so we have to start confessing or start agreeing with the fact that we are His righteousness. Instead of going around saying, I'm the usual mess, we have to go around and start saying, I am Christ's righteousness. See, the more we are going to say that, the more this is going to be manifested in us, because we are in agreement and our faith is working in that direction. Well, this is the way we got deliverance. That's the way we got free. You see, is by what our position is, by what we say that makes a difference. Our position is what we say to ourselves. I mean, if you start taking the position, I am a son of God, and you stay in that position, you know, to do the wrong thing, you have to get out of that position. The last scripture I read last week was 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. And this is really appreciating and receiving that. You see, the idea that I'm trying to get across here, God has done everything that needed to be done. He said, it is finished. And now for us, it's a question of receiving or appropriating what he has done. When we are born again, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says very clearly, we are new creatures. So we have to start saying, I'm a new creature. Okay. I am a new creature. Let's start confessing the fact of what we are. I am a new creature. All things are of God. That's what makes the difference. You see, you have to start seeing that all things are of God. Start perceiving, because we have to be open to that truth. And that's the position we had to take. See, when we start realizing that, we start understanding also the way Jesus operated. Because Jesus did that all the time. He confessed what he was, what he is, all the time in the New Testament. One of his confessions: you see me, you have seen the Father. I mean, talking about a big confession. All right? That can't get any bigger than that, can it? You know, lots of people, lots of believers, all this confession stuff. Lots of believers are ready to confess that they're a mess, that they need deliverance, that they need all this problem, and they really don't, you know, and they keep confessing all their failures and all their things instead of confessing what God has done for them. So who they agree with? Who is saying those things? The accuser of the brethren. So they agree with the devil all the time, because it's the natural thing to do, to go around complaining about all the stupid things we do instead of really seeing what God has prepared for us and say, this is what God says. If God says, he knows better than I do. So we have to start thinking the way God thinks instead of thinking the way man thinks. Because we are not anymore of that species. Hello? We are a new creation, are we? So we have to start talking new creation. We have to start thinking new creation. You started to the position of new creation. You see, people think that just by saying it happens, it's much more than just saying this. When you take a position, that's what makes a difference. This is the taking a position is a spiritual condition that you take. It comes out from your mouth because it's inside you. You know, it starts with believing with your heart. That's the position. And believing with your heart means simply that you decide to believe certain things instead of some other things. You see, you choose to believe what God said instead of choosing to believe the things you see or what everybody else says. See, that's what faith is. Faith is nothing else than a choice that you choose to believe what God said. Unbelief instead is choosing to believe the opposite of what God said. So you take a position and you hold that position. You don't let yourself be moved from that place. And it comes to pass, because according to your faith, is done unto you. Amen? So this is the things that has to happen. And this is the way. I'm going to read 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 says, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God. Actually, the word there is technon, which actually is offspring, sons. So we should be called sons of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. See, they cannot know us. They cannot know what's going on. Maximally, they can say, you're weird, you know, and that's fine. We are a peculiar people. That's what we are peculiar about. We are different. We should be different because we don't think the way they think. Beloved, now we are sons of God. Now we are sons of God. It's not that we are going to be sons of God when it's going to be, you know, at the end of the time. Right now we are. That's what the word says. Are we accepting the fact that right now we are, or we need to have something to do yet to become? We have to accept that truth. We have to agree with that truth. We have to go around and say, now I'm the son of God. I know, look at me, I'm a son of God. And we know, see, these are things, you know, the revelation that we have to have received from God. And we know that when he is revealed, and the word real revealed, you know, has a number of different manifestations. One of them is some places translated as he appears, but really in other places it's a question of revelation. It's really when we understand who he is, or how he operated, which is going to be actually the same. Because both of them are going to happen at the same time. We are getting there, though. When we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. You see, it's not just a physical seeing as he is. It's a spiritual seeing as he is. That means, you know, we understand who he is, how he operated, how he works. And so that's what's going to happen. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. You see, when this hope, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, is starting to be manifest, you know, starting to receive it, you have accepted, received that, automatically you start separating yourself from the other stuff that is really putting you down, that is taking you down, that you make you less than what you are. And it's going to be coming the manifestation of the freedom that you have within yourself. Naturally happening without effort. You see, the first things that people don't like about change is that it involves some effort. It involves work. Well, this is effortless change. You don't need to work toward change anything, because otherwise you get into religion. What you have to work on is to get closer to God. That's the only thing you have to do. You see, it's not that you are trying to do and to become something. It's not that you just become what you are. And the stuff that needs to be falling off, it falls off because it doesn't have any attraction anymore. It doesn't have any pull anymore on yourself. In John chapter 14, there's a lot of stuff there. I'm going to just do a bit less, just cutting some scripture off. But in verse 11 says, beloved, believe me that I am in the Father. See, Jesus making this confession himself. I mean, he's making, you know, making a statement, taking a position on where he stands. Believe me, verse 11, John 14. That I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. You see, looking at what he is doing, you should believe him. But the fact is, what he's saying is he's taking a position. He's making us know where he stands. See, that's the same place that we had to learn to do for ourselves. He's our example. It says, most assuredly, I say to you that whoever believes in me, the works that I do will do also, and greater work than this will be do, because I go to my Father. what he's saying to us, what he's promising to us, but he's more than promising to us. This is taking a position for himself and for us. So if he took the position for us, we should take that position ourselves, because this is what he told about us. I mean, we should go around saying, the work that Jesus did, I can do because he went to the Father. If we don't believe that, we have a problem. We don't believe him. And we are going to have the result that you speak, and what exactly we believe. You want to start seeing miracles in your life? Well, start confessing the truth. Start confessing what God says about you. The more we see him as he is, the more, you know, the hope is in us, and the more the junk falls off. The attraction of the things that are really damaging, it disappears. There is no power in them anymore. And whatever you ask in my name, I say, you know, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You see, God is going to answer you prayer, not because of the things you do, or even, yes, just so the Father may be glorified in the Son. You bring glory to God. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Anything. I mean, you're not going to ask something stupid because you are in him. Okay? You are going to ask the right thing because you are connected with him and he's working through you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Talking about God's plan for you. This is God's plan for you. This is the understanding. And this is what we have to embrace. And there are things we have to receive it. We have to appropriate that. When we talk about appropriating or receiving, the word in Greek is lambano, which means we have to take it. It's not going to fall on us by itself. Unless we take it, it's going to be just there, but we are not going to benefit from it. It's like we have a bank account from which we don't draw money and go around complaining because we don't have money. We have everything that we need for life and godliness. But we have to stop looking at the fact that we were before. If you are born again, you are a new creature, you are a new being, you are a new type of being, and you are a son of God. You may not feel like a son of God, but you are a son of God. And you better start calling yourself that way, because otherwise you are agreeing with the devil instead of agreeing with God. Otherwise, you're not going to have that hope in you. And because that hope is in you, you're going to be a mess for all the time. Because there is no motivation for you to be any different than you were in the past. The point is that there is a component that we have to play ourselves. See, we are not going to be provided all this without us actually appropriating it or participating or receiving it. It's the same as born again. You know, Jesus died for everybody. Potentially everybody is born again, but not everybody is born again. Why? Because they didn't take that position of faith in which they believe that what Jesus done is good for them and is an effect in their life. So the first thing you have to say is, thank you, Lord, for what you have done for me. I mean, not for everybody else, for me and for yourself. You know, you have to say the same thing, and you have to start. This is the appropriation. See, that's the first confession that has to come out of your mouth. The first thing that you have to say is, thank you for what you have done. I'm forgiven. I am a new creation. I am set free. I am delivered. I am healed by stripes. I am healed. You can start making a list of all the things that are the result of what he has done on the cross. Which is God's plan and his desire. That was from the beginning. But you have to, like anybody else, have to participate, have to appropriate that. You know, that's the way you appropriate salvation. And salvation is nothing else than all the other things that God wants to do. They finally are going to be manifested in you being like Christ. And that's the most exciting thing you can ever think of. When we really come to realize the meaning of that, not from the eyes of religion, but from the truth, the spiritual truth that is connected to that, then is better than, is beyond your imagination. That's what the word says. Beyond your imagination. Beyond any imagination. I understand that more than I did a year ago, and I'm more excited than a year ago. And the more you understand, and the more excited you have to get, because you start seeing the riches of the glory of the inheritance of the saints that is revealed to us. And is starting to be revealed to us more and more. So that we can appropriate it. If it's not revealed to you, you cannot appropriate it. How can you get something you don't know you have? It's impossible. You have to first accept it, then believe it, then walk in it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1 says, we then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For I say, in the acceptable time I heard you, and the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You see, every moment is always now is the time to receive it. The moment when we receive the understanding, the moment in which you see the truth is the time that we had to accept that truth and take it for ourselves. That means take that position. I know people that have degrees, PhD in theology. They are scholars of the Bible. They know the Bible by heart, most of it. And they have appropriated nothing. Because it's just a theology, it's just a mental thing, and they didn't put that word to work in their life. They did not actually, they agree with it theologically or mentally, but they haven't received it in their heart. I wonder if they're even born again. You don't need to know all the scriptures. One scripture has the power to set you free. One word of God is enough. Let there be light, and created the whole universe. One scripture can set you free from anything. But you have to receive it, appropriate it, believe it, and start living it. The more you know, and the less is true in your life, and the more in problem you are, the more deceived you become. See, because you are a hearer of the word and not a doer. And so you are deceiving yourself. And your heart becomes hardened. And then you don't believe anything because nothing works. And the reason why nothing works is because you don't believe anything. And you didn't put it to work. You see, when you know a truth, you have to take that truth and take that position for yourself. This is why lots of people, they even born again believers, they just don't get beyond where they started from. Because they do not apply the truth that they see there, and they start looking back instead of looking forward. You can't win that way. You cannot be healed. You cannot break through. You cannot have any of these things because you just keep looking at the way you were and believe more in what you were than what you are now. This is what you want to learn to do. This is the way you're going to have the breakthrough. See, today is the day of salvation. And salvation is not just a one instant thing, you know, it's just, well, now I'm going to heaven. We are talking much more about than going to heaven here. This is God's plan for you. Down here and up there later on, but there is no manifestation down here. What's going to happen up there is going to be very limited. Because this is the time of testing. And it's not the testing from the Lord. It's your choices that you make now that makes the difference for later. I mean, He gives you everything. The Holy Spirit is there revealing the truth to you so that you can take a step, you make a decision, and the salvation comes concerning to that decision. The freedom comes to grasp. And somebody even do that and then they lose it because they look back. Don't look back. It says look forward to the high prize that God put before you. See, this is so important. God's desire is your complete transformation. Complete freedom. And the more you get closer to Him, and the freer you are. That is achieved by walking by faith, not by sight. Not by the things you see yourself in the past, but by the things that He promised. Walking by faith means walking by the Word. Walking by the truth that God revealed to us. And as He brings revelation, that's the moment. That's the time. That's the day of salvation in that particular truth. We grow not because of our effort. We grow by faith. The just shall live by faith. Why? In Romans chapter 1 verse 16 says, you know, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. You know, why I'm not ashamed? Because it's the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. Well, let's say it together. It's the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. That means me. That's right. You see, but we have to believe what the good news is, because the gospel is not just is the good news, it's the truth. We have to accept that truth and apply it to our life. For it's the righteousness of God, verse 17, revealed from faith to faith. You see, the righteousness of God is what makes a difference. It's God's righteousness that is manifested in us. As we appropriate by faith, what He said is ours and is revealed to us. Are you there yet? People are really good about putting themselves down. When instead they should look at God, look at Jesus and what He has done, who is the author and finisher of our faith, is because what we have done, we can be who we are. Yes. Not for what we do. See, there are two kinds of faith. There is a faith that speaks, and there is work that speaks. Faith that speaks is God said. And so the word is in you and in your mouth. And so I'm righteous because God said I'm righteous. The work, the faith that by works, instead said, well, you know, I did all this good thing. So I'm pretty good, huh? But that's you see, that doesn't get anywhere with God. See, we had to learn to take the position because of what God said, not for the things we had done. The thing is, when we do that, we end up doing the right thing anyway. That applies to faith in any area. Healing, breaking bondages, getting understanding. I mean, you know, you can read the Bible and understand nothing. And you start, the word says that, you know, you've got the mind of Christ. If you got the mind of Christ, you should know what the Bible says. Wouldn't you say? So you start confessing that you got the mind of Christ, that, you know, God, the Holy Spirit speaks to you, that He brings you revelation about that. And guess what's going to happen? You're going to experience that. You start, the Bible is starting to open up to you. And you start seeing things that you read 2,000 times before and you never saw before. You know, in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 says, "Now in Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think." Above all that we can ask or think. How far can you think? Well, that's nothing. It's above all. Can you say above all?
Above all.
Amen. I haven't finished reading the scripture. The best coming now. According to the power that works in us. According to the power that works in us. You see, I mean, the power that works in us is the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. I mean, this is the power that created the universe. Now it's inside us, but it's dormant most of the time. Because we don't use it. Because we are so caught up with the physical thing that we are used to do, and we did in the past, instead of being open to what God wants to do and the things that He wants to work through us. "Greater work than this shall you do, because I go to the Father." That's the stuff that we can expect and should expect. Amen? Praise the Lord. I mean, this is exciting. I mean, this is the hope of glory that is inside us, that we should realize it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. This is one aspect of Christ in us, the hope of glory. But we have a part we play. And so we had to know how we are going to do that. We had to ask God to help, go connect with God, because we cannot do it ourselves. You see, the very moment when we can try to do it ourselves by different means, even fasting and praying, He's not going to do it. That's not going to happen that way. Fasting and praying is to open up to God so that God can talk to us. But we are not going to impress God by our fasting and praying. This is the way we deal with ourselves, so that we open up and receive God's revelation. And then, when we got God revelation, we have a responsibility. Our responsibility is to do what He told us to do. That's obedience. So we had to have a strategy, and we don't have the time to talk about the strategy today, but part of the strategy is to realize that we are co-workers with Him. God planned the thing, then He did all the part that He had to do, which was sending Jesus and do the work so that we can be set free. That's the part we couldn't do. Now the part we had to do is to agree with Him and to have a strategy by which we implement or appropriate, take what He has done for us. And the first part of that is to know what He has done for us. Is to know what He wants for us, and what we really want, because that's the thing we want anyway. We were made to want that. That's the way we were built. And then participating in our salvation, participating in this growth. Jesus came that we may have life and have it more abundantly. John 10:10. We had to believe that. Many people don't believe that, even if they quote it. Because God talks to them, they don't do the things that God tells them to do, because they think it's going to be removing fun from their life. There is no greater fun, no greater, more exciting life than do what God wants you to do. More fulfilling life. Nothing can compare. It's beyond what you can dream, think, imagine, everything, because it's better. God is the God of more, not less. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I think I'm going to stop here because the time we had to do the party. Praise the Lord. But we're going to continue later on and we're going to see all the dimension, all the different areas that we had to appropriate. People, for example, are motivated generally by luck. You know, so most people, are pushed by bad needs that they have. Maybe, healing that they need in their life. You know, they are facing a terrible situation and that motivates them to do something. Well, that's not the best way to be motivated. See, the best way to be motivated is be motivated positively by the things that are actually there that we can get. Okay. That's because you don't go very far by being negatively motivated. You see, maximum that you can reach is to fix that problem. And often you don't even succeed in that because you are too focused on the negative thing. The good way to do it is to be motivated by do what God wants you to do, because everything else, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things shall be added unto you. All the things. Amen? Amen? All right. Praise the Lord. Well, let's close for today. You get anything? Are you getting excited to do what God wants to do with you? Amen. All right. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for the plan that you have with God. You have a good plan for us. You told us. Lord, thank you that we know, Lord, that the only thing we have to do is to be open to you and you guide us. Because you send the Holy Spirit just to do that work, to guide us into all truth and to show us things to come so that we can take those things and make it ours. We thank you and praise you for that. And we give you all the honor and the glory to you, Lord, because we know that as we follow you and follow your ways is the best way to have a blessed life, a good life, a life worth living. Amen.